Aloha, and welcome to Goddess Alchemy and Divine Magic on this dynamic day of the Venus transit, which is about to happen in about an hour. So it's been a very airy type of a day, so it's been a little difficult to feel like you're grounded today. So we know exactly how you're feeling. We want to welcome you to this amazing show. We have an incredible guest that's going to be on, and we want to also tell you, we just changed the song. Welcoming and honoring the Divine Feminine. From now on, we're going to be playing Shiva Shakti from Patrick Bernard. If you want to hear more of his CDs and his music, this actual track is found on his Chakra Celebration CD. And you can check out his website at www.patrickbernard.com for more information and for some of his tour dates as well. So on such an incredible day, talk about a divine dispensation. I feel so blessed to have you joining us and to be on the air and to be able to bring this show to you. We've been doing this show now for over a year, and it just absolutely astounds me, the amount of emails that we get and the incredible response that everybody has had from listening to the show and from our phenomenal guests. And I want to promise to you that we're going to keep bringing you more incredible guests and activations and everything. We got a couple other really exciting things in the works that we're going to let in to you pretty soon, as well as you can join our newsletter list as well, too, our email list, and just to be able to get a little bit more information, which you can find at www.charlottesivak.com, so you can sign up for it. Now, today, we have the Crystal Skull Explorer, Joshua Shapiro, who's going to be joining us in a few minutes. And I'm very excited to have him on here because I also myself have quite a few skulls that I'm the caretaker of and have had some incredible experiences myself where we've been to some sacred sites across the world and we've done some ceremonies with the crystal skull. So to have him on the show today is just absolutely phenomenal. And, of course, he's got books. He's got some incredible stuff that he's going to be giving away for free. So please pay attention so that you can listen in and you can, you know, get in touch with him and some of the incredible things that he has coming up. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of a bio on him. And we're going to definitely do our best to infuse you, your creativity, the divine spark, you name it, with this moment-to-moment show, and we're going to make sure that we completely awaken the divine child in all of you. So let's just dare to be and risk completely living in the divine cosmic ecstasy. Now, on such a day, we'll just do a little bit of astrology before we invite Joshua onto the show, is the lunar eclipse. Some of you maybe have feeling a little bit dicey over the last couple hours. And now, of course, with the Venus transit coming up, which only happens once a century, we are truly blessed. I believe in our time zone, I'm in the Toronto, New York time zone area, it happens at 6:04 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So wherever you are listening from the world, hopefully, you know, some of you will be seeing it in the morning or, you know, whatever. And to see Venus coming through represents the energy of the divine feminine becoming anchored onto the physical plane. And you're going to find yourself, though, becoming more infused with creativity and energy and really learning to allow the essence to embrace the beauty, to heal, to receive. So these next couple of weeks are going to be incredibly crucial to how things unfold within your lives, within your relationships, where you're going to find so much more peace, greater alignment. So we welcome you, Venus, with all our hearts open, and let's now get on to our incredible guest who's going to be joining us in a few minutes, the Crystal Skull Explorer, Joshua Shapiro. So his bio is amazing. So I'm just going to give you a little rundown on what he's done over the years if you're not familiar with him or if this is the first time you're hearing about crystal skulls. Joshua Shapiro is known as the Crystal Skull Explorer. He has worked with various friends over the years to offer numerous special public events related to the crystal skull, including very recently various festivals and conferences where several crystal skulls and their guardians have come together. Joshua saw his first ancient crystal skull in San Jose, California in 1983. We're going to ask him a little bit more about that later. It was an amethyst crystal skull known as Ami. Now, over the years, Joshua, who is now working very closely with Katrina Head, has given numerous presentations throughout the U.S., Europe, South America, and Australia. He is also a crystal skull investigator and author and the co-caretaker of more than 10 crystal skulls. Now, for 2012, Joshua and Katrina plan to offer 3 new books. Fantastic. They're all going to be e-books, and they're going to be linked with the crystal skulls, including the new paranormal research. Also, they have been accepted as teachers for the ATW Network, which is the Awakening Truth Worldwide, which is out of Vancouver, and will be offering a new radio show entitled The Unfolding of the Crystal Skulls and Other Mysteries, and online classes, including interviewing many special guests. Now, for those of you who are interested in the free e-book, we'll just give you the quick, we'll give you the homepage of the URL, which is www.crystalskullexplorers.com, and we'll ask him about the link in a few minutes. Now, Joshua is also the coordinator for the World Mystery Research Centeria, nonprofit center set up to research various world mysteries from both a scientific and paranormal perspective. Starting in 2004, 3 crystal skull conferences were set up in Switzerland through the Heinjanka, and I apologize if I mispronounce that, Foundation in Switzerland, and 2 international festivals, the first in Holland in 2006 and the second one in Hungary in 2007. Joshua and his partner, Katrina, also helped to participate in another crystal skull conference in Holland in March 2011 with other various friends. Now, Joshua is also the sponsor of the website called VJ Enterprises that was one of the first websites in 95 to begin to start sharing information about the crystal skulls. Now, moving into the 1990s and beyond, Joshua became acquainted with several other skulls, including E.T., Windsong, Rainbow, and Madrid, Synergy, and Scully. He also had a chance to visit in the British Museum Crystal Skull in 1999. He received his own crystal skull as a gift, a 10-pound smoky quartz skull made in Brazil, which is known as Porta de Luz. In 2001, Joshua's first crystal skull presentation in Holland, which resulted in him moving to the country to work on the new book, was published in Holland in 2006, entitled Crystalline Sidels, Crystal Skulls. Oh, beautiful Holland language. By the time he left Holland, he had a collection of 3 crystal skulls and began to distribute his free crystal skull e-book. In 2008, he returned to the U.S. and became very involved in a number of media interviews about the crystal skulls due to the release of the 4th installment of the Indiana Jones films, having a chance for his private sessions with the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull. In 2009, he moved to Atlanta, Georgia, where he met his current life partner and fellow crystal skull explorer, Katrina Head, and they have been working together ever since. In 2009, they created the new company, Crystal Interdimensional Journeys and Explorations, and led a spiritual tour to Peru in November. From October of 2010 through February 2011, they've traveled from the east coast of the U.S. to the west coast to offer many crystal skull events, demonstrations, and then decide to base themselves near the Seattle, Washington area. Together, Joshua and Katrina released their first e-book for the key e-book readers, the Crystal Skull Travel Log Series, in May of 2011. Now, the crystal skulls themselves are considered to be one of the world's greatest mysteries. Some of these artifacts have been researched by Hewlett Packard, reported in Richard Garvin's book, The Crystal Skull 73, and continue to baffle the modern scientific community. There have been a number of phenomena associated with the crystal skulls, including individuals receiving and healing in the presence, psychics and sensitives channeling or receiving impressions, and holographic images formed inside of the crystal skulls. A powerful energy measured within and around the skulls when activated. And we're going to ask him about it as well, too, when we bring him on. That is such an amazing bio. We thank you so much for joining us today. Everybody, please welcome Joshua Shapiro of the Crystal Skull Explorers. Welcome. You were having a bit of a disconnection there. Not surprised with the powerful energies that are happening today. So please welcome Joshua Shapiro of the Crystal Skull Explorer. So it seems like we're having some difficulty with our technical engineering and everything. So what we're going to do is, while we're waiting to try to get Joshua back onto the show, what we're going to do is we're going to start an activation where we're going to do the cosmic earth kundalini energy and align and get into the pituitary and pineal gland so that we can activate and awaken your mind of light, which will prepare you for the crystal skulls. So getting into a comfortable and receiving position. Take a deep breath, inhaling through the nose.
Your guest is with us now.
And exhaling. And as we've gotten into this comfortable, grounded position, grounding the energies of today, we've been able to reconnect with Joshua. So we're just going to put you on pause for a few minutes, and we'll come back to this activation, but we're going to now welcome Joshua Shapiro of the Crystal Skull Explorers. Welcome, Joshua.
Thank you, Charlotte. A pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you, and we're having a little bit of technical difficulties, but with all the astrological phenomenon that's going on today, that's to be expected. So.
Okay.
Well, we're very honored to have you here. And after listening to your incredible bio and from your experiences, we are really wanting to delve in and ask you a couple of questions and how you got led onto this path, how you awakened to this path, and some of your significant experiences that you can share with everybody would be wonderful. So.
Okay, well, we can start how I began on the path. Just like probably most of your other listeners, we each have our own way that we open up to spirit and we have experiences. And it wasn't my intention when I got involved in, you know, things of a spiritual nature that the crystal skulls were going to be a part of it. It just kind of snuck up on me one day. I was at a bookstore in San Jose, California. It was in 1983. A very good friend was the owner of the bookstore, and as I was checking to see if she needed more copies of my book at the time, which was called Journeys of an Aquarian Age Networker, she pulled out pictures of a crystal skull, and I was very attracted to it. I felt an energetic connection with it and was just kind of looking at the picture, and then I actually started feeling like an inner earthquake inside of myself, which surprised me. And then about a half an hour later, while we were sitting around, I was with another friend who brought me and the owner. The table the picture was on was vibrating because there was an actual real earthquake in Southern California. And so I had an inner and outer earthquake. But what I take back from that experience, which was the most significant, is I just had this feeling like the crystal skulls were vital for the future of humanity. I just had this strong feeling coming over me. And as we all know, we have certain moments where you get to make a decision in your life that can forever affect you. And it was kind of like, now that you know, what are you going to do about it? And I just felt like, well, I better research this. I better learn more. So eventually I got to see the crystal skull of the picture I saw. It was in an art gallery, and they were sharing it. And that had a profound experience on me. And I just continued, and that I met the authors of the book that I mentioned. And so it's just been going like that for 29 years. So that's pretty much how I got started. And I've seen many more crystal skulls. And now I have this beautiful lady who's my partner, Katrina Head, and we have 16 crystal skulls that claim us as their guardians. So, you know, it's been a very interesting adventure between 1983 and today.
Sounds phenomenal. It's I can only imagine, too, like some of the dreams that you've had and the experiences have probably been a bit also close to some of those Indiana Jones movies.
Well, in the Indiana Jones movie, he pretty much gets to go, you know, he has money and everything, so he can go travel and look for the artifacts. It hasn't really come up so much for me, although I had three opportunities between 1997 to 2002 to go to Peru to look for a crystal skull that was kind of like calling to me, which that'll be another book that we have coming out hopefully within the next month or so. But most of the time, it's pretty much going to places and the skulls have already been discovered by someone, found in the ground or passed from family member to family member. So that's pretty much how it goes. But as far as the Indiana Jones film, you know, I think that that film was great, that it let a lot of people know about the crystal skulls. But my hope was that it would have shared more about what it's really like when you have a chance to meet them and so on. And I think it fell a little bit on that. But I'm still grateful to Spielberg and Lucas for, you know, giving this awareness to so many people, because I really believe the crystal skulls are very important for our future.
Absolutely. And how amazing to put it into the mainstream. And then I can only imagine how many people started on their own personal journeys and searches when that movie came out, too. So it's just phenomenal.
There was a lot of new activity, that's for sure, because there were several new conferences that started after that. And a lot of other skulls started to come out after that. So I think it was key. It was meant to be.
Well, that's incredible. And talk about what a way to start your journey. Now, you have a lot of projects on the go as well, too, and workshops and events. Tell us a little bit about those, about some of the things that you have coming up.
Well, the last couple of years, Katrina and I, we did a lot of traveling. I think we did two coast-to-coast in the U.S., from North Carolina to, California, Oregon, Washington, and then we went back again, one time back and forth. So we decided for this year that we weren't going to do as much traveling. We would just focus more on the area that we're near, in the Seattle-Tacoma area in Washington State. And then we've been to Vancouver and Vancouver Island. There might be a possibility we may go to a conference in October in the fall. We have to see how that works out. But we've decided to focus on a new way, which may actually give us an opportunity to reach a lot more people. And that's by doing online classes and seminars. And I'm actually, although I haven't really planned it yet, I'm thinking that we should do an online Crystal Skull Conference. Now, of course, the advantage of having something online means the person does not have to leave their home, and they can be sitting there, they can see the person, they can hear the person, they can see the presentation the person wants to offer, if it's slides or video or whatever, and I think it could be much more powerful. So we have teamed up with a group in Vancouver, Canada, called ATW, Awakening Truth Worldwide. We're one of their teachers now, and we actually have... for your listeners that are listening today or before June 17th, we have a really special online class with a dear friend of ours here in the area, Teresa Carroll, who's a trance medium that we were interviewing for another book. It's like we have three or four books we hope to get out this year. And she's going to be on that class, and I believe that she'll be going into trance, and people will be able to talk to her spirit guide speaking through her, just like we talk to each other. So... it's pretty much doing more online things and getting some e-books out, I think, for this year for us, and, you know, maybe a few personal appearances.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. And where do you plan to be for the big day, 12/21/2012? I'm sure there's many people that are interested to hear if you even have an idea yet.
No, unfortunately, we do not know where we're going to be on December 21st. We're just kind of going with the flow and see what would happen, but we don't know. It's actually,
so for those of you who want to know where they'll be, then you want to sign up for their newsletter.
It's really difficult, you know, to figure out ahead of time where you're going to be.
So those of you listening can visit the CrystalSkullExplorers.com webpage, and on there will be a link for you to sign up for their newsletter, so that you can gather more information about where they're going to be, and if you have that really pressing question about where they're going to be on 12/21/2012.
Yeah. You
now,
still
the
there?
Other, pardon me?
Oh, you're kind of going in and out. Go ahead, please.
Really wanted to bring to note is this incredible world peace meditation with the crystal skulls that you have coming up. Please tell us a little bit more about that and how that came into being. Such a wonderful idea.
Well, the crystal skull world peace meditation actually began, I'm trying to think, in 2008. What happened was after the Indiana Jones film came out, I went with Bill Holman, who's known as the guardian of the Mitchell Hedges skull, and we went to Italy. We flew together because he was in Indiana at that time. I was living in Chicago. And we did this amazing conference, but there were a lot of challenges at the conference that actually came up. First of all, when we arrived, our suitcases didn't follow us, so we had to struggle for a couple of days to have clothes to wear. When he brought the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull out to show our sponsors, I started to become sick. I got a fever and everything. And, you know, I'm a typical Aries. When I make an agreement, I'm going to do something. I do everything in my power that I follow through on what I've agreed to do. So even though I had a fever, I was able to stay in bed until, you know, almost like 15 minutes before I had to speak for an hour. And I had enough energy and strength that I could do that talk. But what was strange was after the conference ended, they wouldn't let me go back because, you know, I still had a fever and everything. And they wanted to make sure before I flew home to America that I was in good shape. I could handle flying on a plane. So I actually had to stay for 4 extra days. And
oh, wow.
One morning I woke up, and what I remember is I had this idea in my head because I did a radio interview probably, 2001, 2002 with Uri Geller, who's the Israeli psychic, the Spoonbender. He had held one of my crystal skulls for about half an hour when I interviewed him, and then he invited me on his radio show. And he asked me this question. He said, Joshua, how could the crystal skulls be used to help to create world peace? Because, you know, like I said in the beginning, that's the message that I received when I saw my first one. And so, you know, being Aries, I tried to be quick-witted and think of something. I said, well, you know, if we could get a whole bunch of people together who would meditate with their crystal skulls at the same time, this could be extremely powerful and help our planet in a really magnificent way. So it was when I was sick, after being in the presence of the Mitchell Hedges go in Italy, I woke up one morning and I had the dates in my head and how to organize the first world peace meditation. So I announced it on, I think I was at a conference on the 888. I told everyone January 1st, 2009, we're going to do a series of world peace meditations. First, I got 7 dates to do it that somehow those dates equaled the 13. Then I brought in some other people who helped in the organizing, and some people said, no, what you should do is you should do 13 meditations or 13 meditations in the first year. So we expanded it. And then for the next year that we did the meditations, then we decided, well, since the number 13 seems to be very important for the skulls, we'll do the meditation on the 13th day of each month at the 13th hour. And so we basically did 27 world peace meditations from January 1st of 2009 till January 1st of 2011. And then I worked with Katrina, and starting on January 1st of this year, we organized another 13 meditations for world peace. So today's date, I believe, is June 5th when this recording is being done. So for anyone who's listening that would like to participate with us, the next one will be on June 13th, which will be, I guess, a week from the Wednesday at 1 o'clock or 1300 the local time. And anyone can participate. They don't need to have a crystal skull. We have a webpage that describes, you know, how to do the meditation. And actually, we have Katrina, who is speaking, you know, to direct a person how to do meditation through an MP3 file that's on there. So all this kind of good stuff, like our free ebook or newsletter that you talked about, the best page really to send people to find all of this, like you said, is at the crystalskullexplorers.com website. But then put resources.htm, and they can find about the meditation, the free ebook, and the other radio shows that we're doing and all that stuff. But that's how the meditation started, and, you know, we're continuing, and I don't know what we'll do in 2013. I'm sure we'll continue it into that as well.
Well, this is fantastic. So, Joshua, tell me, what do you do in your spare time?
What spare time?
Yeah.
I'm serious. Well, actually, the way in which we work pretty much is we work during the day and then we take the evenings off. So we watch our TV shows or our movies, you know. But we just, it's almost like every day we just have things to do. So I'm hopeful for the summer with some new activities that we have going on that will eventually take our vacation to Hawaii, which we want to do. But most of the time, for free time, we do movies or we visit with friends or talk to them on Skype around the world.
Sounds amazing. It's so great to hear that you are definitely one of those that understand the value, too, of your boundaries and giving yourself some time off. That's fantastic. And it says here, too, tell us a little bit about the free ebook that you have that our listeners can log on to at your website at crystalskullsexplorers.com. A little bit about the ebook.
Well, what we wanted to do with the free ebook is, you know, just have some basic information. Like there's an article about crystal skulls, a little bit about us, pictures of most of our major skulls that we have. Of course, since we wrote it in 2010, we've probably already acquired six or seven more. And, you know, there's something about a book that I put together a while back, which I'm thinking maybe we'll try to re-release that, article with Bill Holman. So, you know, just some different basic things about crystal skulls and some resources in there. Just get people kind of to help them if they're interested to learn more. And then, of course, a little bit about us in case we might be able to assist them on their path. Or in many cases, sometimes people are looking to get their own crystal skull, and we have contacts with carvers in China and Brazil. So, you know, we try to facilitate that too, or just to answer their questions. So that's what the free book does, and, you know, just lets people know about the other things that we're doing as well, if they want to pursue more than that.
And what about for people who are looking to get their own crystal skull, or they want to get their first crystal skull? What would be the advice that you would give them to getting to know them, or how to acquire one, or how to caretake one?
That's a great question, Charlotte. Well, we believe the crystal skulls pick us. We don't pick them. So probably the best way, if somebody is feeling like they're supposed to receive a skull, is not to try to figure it out. It's kind of like an adventure. And just kind of go day by day, and different things will come up. Or, I mean, they can talk to people who sell skulls, or they could go on eBay where they sell skulls. Or they can go to a local crystal store to sell skulls. Or if they like the information I'm sharing, they certainly could contact us and we could give them the suggestion. But usually what we find when we talk to people who want a crystal skull, they usually already have an idea of what they're looking for. You know, if they want clear quartz or rose quartz, or if they want it in a different material than quartz. Although we mostly specialize in quartz crystals, not that it's better or worse. It's just this is what generally we help people with. And sometimes what happens is people will contact us and say, we want this kind of a skull, and so we'll get them, and then the skulls will come here, we'll charge them with our skulls, and then Katrina will talk to them, and the skulls will actually tell her which person they're supposed to go to. So assume that the person already has the crystal skull they're looking for, then the next question is, okay, now I have one, what do I do with it? Well, first thing they have to understand is just because a carver takes a piece of quartz or stone and made it into a crystal skull doesn't automatically mean that it's going to be magical and magnificent. It does require we call the individual who has the skull the guardian to start to have a relationship and work with the skull. But ultimately, I think what happens is as the guardian starts to spend time and work with it and meditate with it, or take it with them wherever they go, so the crystal starts to absorb part of the essence of who the person is and the kind of life that they live. I think what happens is because, and I can only speak about this with quartz, although I do know there are other people who have had a somewhat similar experience with other gemstones as well, it seems like the stone becomes kind of like a dimensional portal, and it allows other intelligences to start to come through and work through this go. So it comes to a point where the people start talking with them, and it's as if they're speaking to a person. And the skull has its own personality, its own likes and dislikes. It has certain activities that it wants to have done with it, and it will start to communicate with its guardian depending upon what are their spiritual gifts that they're working with. Like, do they hear things? Do they see things? Do they know things? Do they feel things? Every one of us, even if we say we're not a spiritual person, we're using one of those gifts. You know, we have an intuition about something. We feel we should do something. You know, it's because we're using those inner gifts that we have. And the skull recognizes that and will start communicating with its guardian in that way. So usually after the first couple of months where people are trying to figure out what's the name, how do I work with it, eventually the skull will start talking to the individual, and within a few months they will never ask you those kind of questions again because they have their own communication with it. But there is a warning that I would give to your listeners if they've never had a crystal skull before. This can be a life-changing process. Like yesterday I was interviewed on another radio show. It was a gentleman that Katrine and I met when we were traveling through Calgary in Canada, and one of the skulls we had talked to him, and he bought it, and it, after a few days told him his name was Leon, and he confirmed on the show, he said, everything you're saying, Joshua, is true. After that skull came, all kinds of things changed in my life. So, you know, if a person doesn't want to be more happier, discover who they really are, you know, have more energy, then they should stay away from the crystal skull. But if they want those things, crystal skull can be a really great tool to help the person to find themselves, find their gifts, and live a happier life, I believe.
How beautiful. I just would like to add to this that about 5 or 6 years ago, I was in Sedona, Arizona, and I was on one of the vortexes. I think it was Boynton Canyon, and I had gotten a very clear vision and had put out there. I had actually had met some people that had had also their own crystal skull that had been living there, and all I said was, okay, I'm ready to know what this is all about. A week later, a very dear friend of mine, Carolyn McDermott, came to see me with a gift for me, and she told me to close my eyes, and when I opened them, I had a sodalite crystal skull in my hand. She said, yeah. I didn't know what to do. All I knew was this guy wanted to come and see you. And sodalite being the crystal that relates to you learning how to trust and how to open up, I was absolutely astounded by how, and like you said, life had changed. And since then, it's just been incredible. So it's been quite a joy, as we've also traveled around the world to many different sites and sacred spaces. And they and my other skull, Maya, have been a part of being with us at the ceremonies. And it's just been absolutely mind-blowing for everybody who's been there. So I just would like to also add in for anyone who's listening who's also interested that, yes, it really does change your life. And it's really incredible, the knowledge, the expansion that you feel, and the vastness. It's just a beautiful thing. So thank you so much for that. And once again, we're talking with Joshua Shapiro from the Crystal Skull Explorers, and we're having a really amazing conversation about how we can get in tune and how we can meet crystal skulls. So it's is there one story that you can think of that really stands out to you that had happened to you or had happened around you with the skulls? I mean, already what you've said has been pretty profound, so...
Well, usually when somebody asks me this question, I try to spontaneously just allow whatever experience comes. Okay, so, yeah, I think I'm going to go with this one. We have this book coming up about 3 trips to Peru. I just flashed on one of the experiences I had in Peru, which I talk about in great detail in the book, but, you know, we could basically share a little bit about it. When I was in Peru, I think it was probably... in the early part of the 1990s, there was a strange guide that we had. He was, you know, from Peru. He wrote a book about Machu Picchu. We were getting ready to go to Machu Picchu from Lima. And this gentleman just points at me out of the clear blue sky, and he says, Joshua knows where there's a crystal skull in Peru. And so I had no idea what he was talking about, although I could understand because of the mystical nature of Peru that, you know, maybe there were crystal skulls that came there, or maybe they had them in Atlantis and they brought them there. But I personally didn't really feel a connection with anything. There had been rumors of crystal skulls in Peru, you know, like with an indigenous tribe, some shaman, Peruvian shaman saw one time. But I had a distinct vision that came to me of a crystal skull being held by Indians in the northern part of Peru, which I never traveled before. I saw it in my mind, and I felt my body pulled to the north. Well, after a number of years, the mad compulsion to go back and really look for this seriously, I went in 1997, and I worked with a friend who had just seen another ancient crystal skull called Max in Chicago, and we took out a map of Peru, and my hand was magnetically pulled to the northern part of Peru again, like I was the first time. So I just went in that direction. I didn't know where I would end. I quit my job. I didn't know when I would come back. So this is not the normal type of adventure that a person would take. You have to totally trust that you're going to be guided. And there were moments, and I will admit it, and I'm an Aries, and Aries generally do not want to admit it, but I admit it in the book too, where I thought, this is crazy, I should go back, nothing's happening. But then there were clues along the way. So what I want to share is, eventually I come to the northern part of Peru, high up in the Andes Mountains, and I'm sitting in a little tiny house made out of aluminum, maybe some wood. This house would probably be as big as a person's living room, where there were a family of, at that moment, five people plus relatives sleeping in it, in a very primitive area, no electricity, no heat. And I'm in a sleeping bag, and I'm getting ready to go to a sacred lagoon the next day, again, not having any idea if anything's going to happen when I go. And as I'm resting, all of a sudden, I saw in my mind's eye it looked like a door, like Stargate SG-1, you know, where they have that dimensional portal they go through. It looked like a door, not exactly like that, but a hole that opens, and then the blue skull flew out of that hole with a tall being behind it. And so I saw it in my mind's eye, and it was the color, and see, this is hard for me to describe because I must have been in an altered state. And generally, you know, like you were talking about people having dreams, I don't have dreams and I don't see things. Sometimes I get a stilled image in grays in my mind's eye, but it's a still image where I know there's some people who are clairvoyant and they can see the beings around them, they can see the orbs, they can see the nature spirits. I don't get to see any of that. So it's hard for me to describe, but I did see, you know, this skull floating with a light blue color as I imagined it, and it greeted me. So that was probably one of the most profound things that happened. But this skull, as far as I know, has not come out into the physical. So I'm not sure if it is in the physical. I believe that there are very powerful, advanced crystal skulls that have a living consciousness to their own, that may exist in other dimensions that are waiting for us until it's the right time to just appear, and they could appear anywhere. So my sensing is this skull was kind of like that. So I would say that would probably be one of the most magical moments I've ever had, is having this contact, seeing this blue skull in front of me, but it probably wasn't in the physical, but I could see it, you know, while I was in my sleeping bag, and it was pretty amazing, and I'm sure it changed my life forever.
Thank you so much for sharing. I mean, there's so much myth and lore that is also associated with the crystal skulls. And what do you feel about some of the lore that's out there about having the 13 crystal skulls or being a part of a group that is of the 13 that we're not sure if it either governs the world or has a part of evolving, and also about how, you know, sometimes like with Napoleon and with Hitler, how they were also obsessed with the occult, and they were aware of the skulls as well, and they had had many expeditions looking for them. And as a matter of fact, I remember reading quite a few different documents and researches that even Hitler was working with one at a time as well. So can you give us anything on that?
Well, related to the idea of 13 crystal skulls, throughout many of the world religions, the number 1 surrounded by the number 12 comes up repeatedly. For example, in Judaism, which I was brought up, you have the Levites, who are the priests, surrounded by the 12 tribes of Israel. In Christianity, you have the Christ and the 12 apostles. There are some people who believe that there actually exist 12 planets in our solar system. We know about 9, probably pretty sure about a 10th one that's beyond Pluto. But one early UFO researcher, George Hunt Williamson, said there are 2 planets before Mercury which you cannot see because they're within the light of the sun. So the idea that there might be a special set of 13 crystal skulls has been discussed briefly by different indigenous people, who would be the ones that would have these legends, some Native American, et cetera. But there's really no way to validate or prove. It's kind of like something that you feel a connection to.
Right.
Like, I feel a connection to this idea. But I'm pretty convinced, and I don't know who talks to me. You know, we each have our own spirit guides. We each have our own source of information that we have to trust. And Katrina, I talked to Katrina about this, and she agrees with me also with this. I just don't sense if there are these advanced set of crystal skulls, some of them called the original set of crystal skulls. I don't sense they're known, and maybe they're not in the physical. And then that number of 13, like, for example, there's one group from Guatemala who says there are 52 skulls, which would be 4 times 13, or 4 sets. And so sometimes I have this feeling like, you know, why does there only have to be 1 set? Could there be multiple sets of different skulls that maybe they have a different appearance or something like that? So anyway, the bottom line is, from that particular perspective, is I think that there is another set of skulls that we have not seen yet that I believe has the potential, when they decide to come together, when they decide, not when we decide to go look for them and find them, that this could be a catalytic moment that may help to take our planet into a higher vibrational state, which would then become what a lot of people are talking about, the new age, the Aquarian age, the golden age. Sometimes I call it the new dawn. Now, as far as people in the past looking for crystal skulls, well, according to the co-author of my first book, Mystery of the Crystal Skulls Revealed, F.R. Nick Nocerino, he seemed pretty sure from his research or rumors that he heard that probably the Nazis did have a crystal skull, which they sought as an object of power, not for the benefit of the world, but to, you know, help the elite. And that when the Nazis were destroyed, that possibly this skull may have gone to the Vatican. So I don't know about that. There actually are a couple of crystal skulls that surfaced within the last year or so out of Germany. One was an amethyst skull that a gentleman contacted us, and then he disappeared. But his grandfather was part of the German Navy, had found it, I think, in South America and brought it back. But then recently there was another skull that somebody said was linked to one of the Nazis that came out of Germany. So I think these people like Napoleon or Hitler may have sought such objects to use for their own personal benefit, but that would presuppose that some people already knew they existed and that they were quite powerful. But for me, you know, the crystal skulls, like as I'm looking at our crystal skulls here, they said, you know, their purpose isn't about power or which one is more powerful. It's about each one is here to help and assist humanity, and they all work together. They're already one family. They talk with each other, and You know, they just want to help us, but they also can't interfere in our free will, too. So I think the main message of this GULF is cooperation and working together and sharing. And this is predominantly
unity and an open
the way
heart.
In which Katrina and I work is we're trying to share the best information and find other people who want to work together and see what we can co-create together, which is why I'm excited about the online conference is once we figure out
it sounds
who's
like
going to
be
there, what
kind
of...
extremely amazing experiences that are going to come from that.
Yeah, I think so. I'm feeling very... I feel there's people behind me that really want me to do that. So we already have possibly one person who's agreed to be a speaker for that. And it's just because I've got too many projects going on that I haven't been able to focus on it. But I hope to start talking with more people this month.
We see a fluorite crystal skull showing up for you.
Yeah, that would be great.
Fluorite helping you with the organization.
Okay. Well, I've organized conferences before. I helped with two conferences in Holland and one in Hungary. And so, you know, but I haven't done any, haven't been able to help with conferences here in America where I was born. So just everything happens in its right time.
Exactly. But this idea that you have, too, of now putting everything onto online, the online community, and having even a conference online to coming up is absolutely fabulous. So that shows a real initiative on your part as well. So we wish you great success and luck with that.
I kind of relate to Steve Jobs when I'm reading his biography. He was really into, you know, let's use technology to assist and help people. And he came up with some amazing products through Apple. So I'm always constantly thinking about, you know, what else could we do? We have this amazing technology around us that could assist us in sharing information and helping to bring people together and, you know, do something that's meaningful. So, but I guess that's my Aries nature is, you know, I'm always thinking, let's do something different. You know, because otherwise I get bored. I need to have those challenges.
Yeah, the trailblazer, the leader. That would definitely be the
explorer. I don't know how good of a leader, but I do the best.
Well, it sounds like you're really in a, I don't even know if you can call this a word of a profession, because it feels like it's a life purpose, and it's just, it's beautiful. And we just have a few minutes left, so in closing, is there anything you would like to leave us with, or once again, we're talking with Joshua Shapiro from the Crystal Skull Explorers and .com, so please go and visit his website. There you can sign up for the newsletter and receive their free e-book, and there's some really incredible goodies on there that you can go on and receive, and conferences and this meditation that you're doing on the 13th of June. Anything else you'd like to just make sure that we know of and the listeners perk their interest?
Well, they also can email us, too, at crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com, you know, if they have something you want to share or a question. But I would leave your listeners with the following idea. 2012, I feel, is going to see a 9/11 of a positive light. Instead of something that causes fear and panic, I'm really sensing before the end of this year, not that the world's going to end at the end of the year, but there's something that's going to be coming up, you know, whether it's like extraterrestrials showing up or some spiritual being showing up or something of this nature, and it's really going to activate a lot of things in people, and people are going to be looking for people who are on the spiritual path to help them to understand. What I've personally noticed for us is we're almost completely out of the 9-to-5 world. I mean, we're just focusing on our spiritual work, and it's like every month, whatever we need comes, new opportunities are coming. Some things I dreamed about, like a crystal skull with a movable jaw and looking human-like, manifested last year. So I think the key for people right now is try to get the focus on who are you and be who you are and find out what makes your heart sing and start to do those things. Because when you start to do things that bring joy, you become like a magnet of light and you're going to touch all the people around you. Like that was a comment that Katrina mentioned. We moved into an apartment here and it's know, kind of an isolated area, and there was a lot of crazy things going on around us, but a lot of that craziness left. And we think we left because the light that we were bringing into the apartment complex. So we each have the ability to make a difference, and I really believe that this is an amazing year. I mean, crystal skulls are amazing, too. People might want to get involved in that, but there's just a lot going on. But the real key is to look at, and that's what the skulls are reminding me about, the word co-creation. What can we create together? I always think about that when I talk to new groups. I'll get ideas. I'll wake up the next morning and get an idea. Maybe you could do this with this group or that with that group. So if we really start to work together, because think about this, if instead of us individually having each to buy our own car and our own house and our own this and our own that, we were to share those things, nobody would be without. We would have everything we need, because there is no challenge with that. It's an illusion that's been presented. So I just think we're living in a great time, and you know, each person has a part or a role to play in helping to create a magnificent Earth. And you know, so that's why we love traveling. We meet so many amazing people. So that's kind of my sensing and feeling about kind of like what's going on right now, and why this is a really important year, and we each have a role to play somehow.
What a powerful message. And we can't thank you enough for being on the show. We'd love to invite you back sometime when you have something you really want to come on and share with us once more, for sure. And it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show and to be able to explore such a dynamic phenomenon. So once again, we thank you so much, everyone. We've been talking with Joshua Shapiro from www.thecrystalskullexplorers.com. We wish you much success, and we'll definitely be tuning in for that meditation on the 13th of the month. And we thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Charlotte, and thank you for all your kind words. And anytime you'd like to have us back, just let us know.
Thank you. And please join us for a very powerful show in 2 weeks on June the 19th, when we're going to be welcoming back best-selling author of Temple of Light, Daniela Roma Hoffman. She's going to be joining us from France, which is amazing. She's just finished her second book, and she's going to be leading us in a transmission for the powerful solstice, as well as we're going to be interviewing Toth, which I'm very excited about. So please join us next time at on Goddess Alchemy and Divine Magic. And until then, we wish you magical days, and we can't forget the nights, full of cosmic joy and ecstasy. Aloha.